that holds the cardium ring has been let loose by wearing thin, by wearing thin, by biting through the shifting power leans to you. And the card is on. Joy for the things I've done, and I've wept as hard for what I left undone, for what I left undone, for what I couldn't deem mine, for what I thought was yours, and so I drew the line, and the card is on.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills Volume 4 Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the great special programs we're bringing you now through April 15th at kboo.fm/ATNF4.
Makes you such a threat. We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Muchasha.
I'm bet to wash tello, chante wash te na pe choose up yellow. Le unki biki, e wash tello. A kawazi woglake et taha, e hantahaya, and I'm a copte yo. Oyate tokahe wichakie imachia pelo. Naha iuha chante, wash te na pe choose up yellow. Malakota yellow. Oyate hona umpi ohola oshkati wichoni. Chante mahetaha. This is First Voices Radio, and I'm your host, T. Okus and Ghost Horse. This is an all-native hosted, all-native produced First Voices Radio, and our producer is Liz Hill of the Red Lake Ojibwe Nation. Our guest today is Raquel, and she's 40 years old and was born and raised in northeastern Greenland. When she was 4 years old, she told her mother that she would become a shaman. She always heard the stories about how they came from a shamanic family, and she always asked deep questions to what it meant for their descendants. In 2012, she started her journey to actually learn about how her ancestors lived and saw the universe as a whole. She left society, went into nature, and learned what nature had to teach us. In 2019, she received her healer name, which is Raquel, and was accepted into the ancient lineage Angkok. Ever since, she has learned how to bring the spirits to the modern human and together figure out how to apply the ancient knowledge into a modern world. And these profound methods of healing that are more relevant than ever is what Raquel uses to help people find themselves as souls, which has been so forbidden and hidden in many ways. Quote, the soul that is a whole is in balance with the world and in balance with themselves. She's part of a movie called Eternal Song, and it really, really made me see things a little differently about where people are located. And she would tell you that Inuit are also of Alaska, as well as Greenland, and maybe other parts of Canada and into even Iceland. But most people know Greenland and Iceland as parts of Denmark. And that's a little something like the United States is not really the United States. It's Turtle Island, too many of us indigenous peoples here. The feature of the movie that I did watch, it just is to be released in a few months, actually May, June, and it'll be out there. So look for that movie called Eternal Song. That long introduction, Raquel, I want to welcome you to First Voices Radio.
Thank you very much. My name is Raquel Senimoina. Senimoina is actually my ancestor who was a shaman. My great-grandfather named Senimoina before he got baptized. And the way we carry our ancestors' name is that the white man wanted to be able to identify who were related. So they took the oldest person in the family and put behind the name of their descendants. So that's why I carry his name. I come from Itaqatamit, which is in northeast Greenland. And Inuit is both in, you know, Greenland, Canada, Alaska, and parts of Russia. Iceland is another people in on its own with a Norse culture, but with deep roots. We are very close to one another. It's actually the closest neighbor to Itaqatamit, where I'm from, but we've never really connected. The way I work is that I went through, you know, trauma healing using my ancestral methods. Because I have been in psychiatry for 18 years trying to figure out how to balance. You know, I couldn't understand why I couldn't control my emotions and my mind. And it turns out that the reason for that is that I should have had my shamanic teachings as a child, but I didn't get that because it is forbidden. And my mom got her teachings from her grandmother. And she didn't want to teach me because it's dangerous to do what I do. And I get that now. She was trying to protect me from the spirits instead of letting me. And that made me ill. It's called the shamanic illness. And when I finally had gone through a very traumatic time trying to adapt to the Western worldview of healing, I actually ended up understanding that the doctors couldn't help me, the psychologists couldn't help me. So I turned my back on the Western system and went home to my mom, and I actually begged her to teach me. And I was 27 at the time, and she finally said yes. And the moment she accepted that I was going to walk the shamanic path has been a long road of decolonizing, actually, to try to figure out, well, this forbidden spirit world, is it so dangerous as people say it is? Because we don't know what's there, you know. To not know what's in Silab Abba, you know, the spirit world, can seem like a very dangerous thing when it's so unknown. And this journeying into to the actually quite natural part of our soul, which is connection with the spirits. We do know that our soul is only good. You know, that's a knowledge we have. We have to protect our soul. And the other thing is our ancestors want the best for us. And to connect the good soul and the ancestors is where a beautiful transformation happens, which also makes the connection with the spirit world a medicine. And that's why we have the name medicine man and medicine woman, because the connection is medicine. So I felt completely isolated from the rest of the world because it was so far away from everything. And I felt that I did something very forbidden. So I kept it to myself for a long time. And the moment I opened up, I was met by I lost my whole life. I lost everyone I knew because she has lost it. to actually accept that I am a soul and I connect with the spirit world, many people turn their backs on you. And at the time, it was very hurtful for me. Because it is the witnesses to my life that I lost. You know, and all of a sudden I was standing there and I felt I had removed all the roots. All I could do was to just trust the journey. I am protected. I am wanted. I am loved. Show me the way. Please show me the way. Because I had gone through so much of others, people, opinions all the time and lost myself to that. And it was deadly for me all of a sudden to have let go of everything I actually wanted, which was the shamanic path. So as a child, I remember my mom talking about the spirit helpers had come to her cousin asking them to become a shaman, and they had reacted with fear. The first thing I did was asking my mom, how do you get in contact with the spirits? And my thought was, why not me? Why don't they come to me? And I asked her what I should do if the spirits came to me, because I would accept them. I would say, yes, come to me. You know, it was just this calling. And when I went into my first trance, it actually lasted for 2 months, where I felt like coming into a womb, and all that hurt and pain I felt, it was like, oh, finally free. Finally, I have something that works for me. You know, I had emptied out every possibility. You know, I went for walks, I ran, I went to psychologists, I did meditation, and I even slept, you know, my life away. I did medication for 8 years, and it all left me worse than before. So to me, the reason I do this is because it worked for me, and because they saved my life, the spirits, my ancestors, the helpers, the nature. The more I got well, the more I gave myself away to the spirits, and I invited them into my life in the way that we kind of, I gave away my power to them and invited their power into my life. And in the end, when I had my last soul retrieval, soul retrieval is, you know, in Inuit culture, we have this full soul, this complete soul that gets born into this world. And as life goes by, you can let go of that soul, parts of your soul, to situation in life. And if you have had trauma, you can let go of parts of your soul, you know, and even deadly wounds here, which I had. And when I got that last soul part, which is the Rakel part, the one that connects with the spirits, and I became whole, and I started to, you know, release my ego, my idea of the world. The more I let go of my idea of who I was and what the world is, you know, the more I understood I can never adapt to the world. I can never function in the world as it is. I have to let completely go of everything, every part. There can be no more compromise. Every compromise I try to do with my soul, who I am, is like turning off the sun, you know, this light. So I have no choice than to shout out to the world, this is who I am. Because if I don't, it's like pretending not to be there. When I first got out in public and said, I am an angakko, which is quite forbidden. It's the worst thing you can do. I was, in a shitstorm. And I was okay with that because I have so much trauma that this is nothing compared to what I've been through before. But as time went by, I started to doubt, am I doing the right thing? You know, am I really following the spirits? Am I walking the path of medicine? You know, am I distorted in here and walking the wrong path of my ego? You know, so I went on a drum journey to ask for guidance. Am I wrong? Because I don't mind being wrong. I want to correct what I do wrong all the time. I'm not here to be a big person. I'm just here to be a person. So I ended up by the sun. In our culture, the sun is a woman called Melina who lived as a person on earth once. And I was in a strap and pulled by two giants on the surface of the moon. And I was looking at the surface of the sun and I was completely tied because humans aren't meant to be on the sun, you know. And they gave me food that they chewed so that I could stand being close to her. And then Melina said, look out into the universe. There is only darkness. Should I not shine because of all that darkness? And then she said, look at the earth. And she said, all I do is shine. But people still complain that the sun is not out or there are clouds, there's wind. Should I then not shine? And I went back and I was like, oh, because people complain about what I say, should I not do my task? So it helped me to let go of everything thrown my way, you know, as a person, and just say, okay, I just have to stay on my path, do my tasks, and just let it be. This is about the Inuit culture is that we are born for a reason. We are born with a destiny ahead of us. And what we have is, you know, we have this, we call silakaka, the consciousness, the center of your consciousness, which is this tattoo. And then we have sila, which is the consciousness of the universe, that the consciousness lead your consciousness on your path for a good life. I just have to stay on that path and stop listening to everyone else, because everyone can be opinionated. It's the easiest thing in the world to have an opinion, but to actually be who you are, that's a different talk. So this journey has been to balance the human, the spirits, and the humans. You know, how do we figure this out? How do we actually lead a life that follows our destiny? And that way is, it's a simple thing, you know, your soul parts, you know, to call them home to your body. And the method I learned was from my mom, that our name is our soul. So whenever I feel I have let go of part of my strength, I call myself home by saying my full name. And then I say, come home. Please come home. Stay in my body. I promise to protect you. I will do my best so that my soul wants to stay with me. And I'm not always honoring that because I work too much all the time. I want to do it all. You know, I love doing spirit work. But that also means that my soul wants to stay in the spirit world. It doesn't want to come back. It loves the spirit world. So I'm like, please come home. Please stay. It hurts too much when you're not with me. And that is the core about healing, is to be in your full strength. And it's easy to say, well, then you just fetch your soul home and then you go back to the life. We still have to keep that balance, because we still have a family life that can be dysfunctional, or you know, might not be good at work or in your relationship. And to honor that person you are is to set those healthy boundaries according to your soul needs. That is the ancient knowledge in the spirit, you know, in the modern world. How do I balance that soul life that's too busy for that connection? In our heart, there is this knowing, this wisdom. And whenever I, you know, I have people who ask me for help, and they're like, well, I don't have 10 minutes to sit with myself and listen. And that's the moment I say, well, you might not have 10 minutes, but you take 10 minutes. If you want to stay here, you have to focus on your heart just for a while until you feel this wholeness again. What I see, it's not universal. It's just the way the spirits communicate with me, that my heart has three parts, and the lower part is usually the part that is missing when I do too much work. And to get that connected is the moment, oh, here, I am now in full connection with this heart, with this light. And when I have that, my days are better. You want good days, you take those 10 minutes.
Raquel, earlier this month, you said something which has to do with decolonizing. And this is the part that moved me the most. You recently returned, and I honor what you just said about all your culture. But, you know, you started out with decolonization. And you used the word forbidden a lot. So this will be two questions here. One is, you recently returned from Alaska with your relatives in Alaska. Most people didn't know that there were different parts of Inuit in different parts of the world. And that's amazing to me. My Western mind would say, how do they do that? How did they do that? It's all this questioning. And the one question that came was, you introduced a little bit about how you were decolonizing by something you went through, that you ended up with no fear after that, was your unbaptizing or your de-baptizing ceremony. And also the second question would be, because you said it was forbidden, is it because of how the people forbid it, or is it against the law like it was here in the United States? Until 1978, it was against the law for us to do anything cultural, language, songs, dance, anything, ceremonies. Was it the same in Greenland where you grew up? So there's two questions for you.
The first question about Inuit in Greenland, Canada, Alaska, and even Russia, that's the colonial borders. We are actually one people. You know, we are the same. And whenever I speak to my friend Asenach in Alaska, we speak the same language, you know, the same roots. We can hear it in everything we say. And meeting him for the first time was like meeting my grandfather, because it is, you know, the same culture. And it took me a while to understand. When I did my drum journeys, I always asked my ancestors on my way back to my body if there's anything I should be aware of. And I might have been traveling for something completely different. But every time they say, Greenland cannot heal on its own. We have to take all of our people and heal together as one. So the colonial borders, it's just different countries that overtook our land. And we are still figuring out how to do this, you know, to who we are as a people, because we know one part of the culture, Canada remembers a different part, and Alaska remembers something completely different. But what is common in this is like a puzzle of the same picture that we are making a sense of, that we have our bigger understanding together of who we are. So this journey is only beginning, and we can thank the social media for that, because we have a large community where we actually share our knowledge, and I love that. And the second part of that first question is that if we do testing, DNA testing, many of the people are like my third, fourth, and fifth cousin. You know, it's not that far away. They're all close relatives. Even my tattoos here, they have their origin in by the Bering Strait, where Inuit carries the same patterns. That's where it originated. And I'm all the way in East Greenland. It's very far away. So even our patterns tell the story of our common ancestors. During my shamanic deepening, you know, the Danes came to East Greenland in 1887, and they immediately made our ancestors prove who they were as a shaman, you know, and had seances and all that. And there's even a book written by a captain from a boat where he actually had a shaman to show his big strength. You know, it was very derogatory the way he writes about the shamans. And he actually turned, you know, it's cliffs we live on, and he opened the cliffs without touching. And the Dane was like, is that all you got? Is that the great power that shamans has? You know, it's like, that's nothing. You know, one by one, trying to pull them apart as humans. And then the next part is about the baptism. The Danes brought food, alcohol, and all that. And they made rules, their own rules, about how life should be. And the evil ones were the shamans. And they even brought people from West Greenland, who had been colonized for 200 years at that time. And they made us not speak our own language. We had to speak West Greenlandic, at least after we went to Iqaluit, where I come from, because they moved us by force to north so that it could stay a Danish colony. The Norsemen wanted the northeast part of Greenland, so they established a town further north. So they actually divided our family into two. And up there, it was very isolated. And there is a Danish doctor who writes about this people who seem so innocent and genuine, but behind it all, there is a pain. And that pain has to do with how we had to hide. You know, my great-grandmother, she used to tell how she was a shaman. She said, if they only punished me, I could cope. I can handle that. But that they have to punish my husband and our children, that's what breaks me. So there was force, you know, they took away food, even large portions of the food. And they, you know, suppressing. We follow the sun and the moon like others who follow nature. And there, on the shortest day of the year, there is a big celebration for the day, because finally we have reached the coldest part of the darkness. And that's where you you have a feast and people dance and the shaman goes on a drum journey to clean up the year that has passed. You have these ceremonies and the celebration of the day. And they had a lookout, usually a boy, who kept an eye on the Dane who was in charge of the city. And when he saw him, he ran to the house and said, he's on his way. And they hurriedly just pretended to sit down and sew or sit and talk, play cards or whatever. And then the Dane just opened the door, looked in, like, and then closed it again. No knocking, no nothing, no words, and just went away again. You know, kept an eye on what people were doing. So yes, there is this colonization of who and how, who you should be, how you should behave. We have a word saying til præsten side, which is to the side of the priest. And that is, it might just be a story, but this hunter who didn't go to church because he liked going hunting on Sundays, then the priest told him, you have to come. That's the rules. Now you come on Sunday. And he just washed his face and cleaned his hands. And then from where you could see his hands, it was dirty. And also behind his ear, it was a little black, you know? And then his family asked him, but aren't you worried that the priest will see you are dirty? And he was like, no, I'll just keep watching him so that, you know, keep my good side to the priest so that he doesn't see I'm dirty behind my ears. And that's how it was. You keep the good side out to the Danes according to the rules. At home, you're someone else than you are you.
Stay tuned for the second half of First Voices Radio and our interview with Raquel. Raquel is from Greenland and her agent, Inuit language of Enagak, meaning she is a medicine woman of the spirit world. And my name is Teokasin Ghost Horse. Stay tuned. Stay with us for the second half of this interview with Raquel.
Just the same tomorrow. I see you meet all up at the mall. I know what goes on. You've got that empty feeling in your soul. You spend till it's gone. There's some needless shit out there. Let's see what it is. With your plastic in your pocket, it's need and release. Ooh, you feel just the same tomorrow. But when
You cruise on autopilot, need a new fix. The latest fashion of the season, you couldn't resist. Is it not enough? Is it not enough? Is it ever enough? Is it never enough? Is it not enough? Is it not enough? Is it ever enough? Is it never?
And that was Kingfisher with Enough. Thanks for coming back for First Voices Radio. You're joining Teal'c and Ghost Torch, your host, interviewing Raquel, who is an Anangak from the Inuit. And I'm asking her the question, a very intriguing thought that she gave, where her family and she performed an unbaptizing, debaptizing indigenous ceremony with her people from Alaska. But remember, she was born in northeastern Greenland, where there are also Inuit people. And for clarity of spelling her name, it's R-A-K-E-L, sounding like Raquel. We'll continue with this interview now.
And you had personally gone through a decolonizing, unbaptizing ceremony yourself. And you said you received something.
Yes. My mom told me that she had her baptism removed, and she did that when I was a small girl. And every time she told that story, I felt this urge. I need this. I need that, because even though I respect religion, I respect whatever you believe you have, and I will even, I support you in what you believe in, and I will fight for your right for that belief. I just want that same right to have my belief. So that thing about her removing her baptism, I felt something's wrong with my baptism. I didn't want to get baptized, and I even didn't want to go through my confirmation, where you tell your belief, you know, in church, like, I do believe in God and I denounce all that. I begged my mom to not go through that, but she made me. So during my shamanic deepening, you go further and further back in time as you deepen. I went in the ocean, and there are two huge walls of ice, and this cliff was there in the water. And I looked down, it was completely black. Only white was those white ice walls. And then my ancestors said, this is where Christianity ends. Everything beyond this is beyond Christianity. And they were about to say the next sentence, but I had already jumped, where they say, you know, this is where I let go of my faith in Jesus and God, even though I know they're there. I don't belong in that faith. I belong with Sila. my ancestors. I had already jumped, and I felt like, finally, I can get some answers that I cannot get with Christianity. I need to go beyond to actually understand, who am I? Who were those ancestors? What is all this, you know? And that's the moment I feel like my understanding of life actually first truly began. Then my mom, again, my mom, my teacher, I went to her and I asked her, how did you get your baptism removed? I need that. It's time. And she told the story, and I was like, she said to me, you have to go to a priest and ask them to remove your baptism, and they will say no. You have to say it out loud. And then I was like, I am not going to any priest. They hate me, you know. they don't want anything to do with me. It would be so odd. So I was like, okay, I am deciding for myself to remove my baptism. And that same night, I took the journey to my baptism, and it was like a cocoon. And I went inside, and it was like acid bath. It's not because the faith is wrong. It's just that it's not for my soul. The baptism works. It is a ceremony that protects and puts you in this protective cocoon of light. But my tree in that cocoon, it was dead because I didn't take care of my faith. So it had become something else, something harmful for me. And one of the things about baptism here is that the way they worded it when people were baptized is that when you get baptized, you cannot be a shaman. You have to go by the rules of Christianity. You have to obey. So many people are like, when they see me do what I do, they're like, but you're baptized, you shouldn't do that. And so for me, it was a prison, you know. And I stood there in this cocoon, and I looked up at that tree, and I just started climbing. And from the top of the tree, I could get out. And the moment I got out of the cocoon, my tattoo showed. I came out and I got up. And this is the moment my mom was afraid to tell me how to remove my baptism, because she felt all alone in the whole universe. I got out and I stood there, and I just started running as fast as I could. And as I ran, this water from my baptism, it just got up, and it, you know, I heard it three times. It did that. The second time was the worst, and the third time was just little drips. And that moment is where the nothingness comes. And it was like seeing the creation from the beginning. And I understand why she feared that, because you feel all alone. And that is because you have to start your life from the very creation. And there you are alone. And I just watch how we came from Earth and how we, you know, became these different creatures. In the beginning, it was only water, but in the end, it was the soil. I could smell this rich soil from back then. And all of a sudden, I was the one standing up and walking. And I can remember how the different feelings of the different creatures we have been. And then I just saw my feet, and they had tattoos. I could see my hand, tattoos everywhere. We call that Inu. A full person, you know, a whole person is not always necessary, but for me, it has meaning. To be a full person is also to carry your markings of who you are and your story, which is related to the world around you. But then in the end, as I was walking, I came to Nuuk, where I live now, and I saw this fire by Kulunihaunen, the old harbor. And this woman stood there. I had never seen her before. And this lady, she was like, oh, there you are. And it was Silla showing itself as an old lady to me. And she had these big, big black cape on. And she just went behind me as I went to the fire. And she just put herself in me. And then we were the raven flying around the city. And that's the story about how my baptism was removed. And not even a week later, I had my first tattoo, because I could see that the one I am is the one who has the markings carry these. And the perfect thing about this is I had struggled a lot with, should I carry the tattoos of my ancestors, foremothers? And I asked them, should I get these markings? And they just sit there with their palms on their knees, straight up and down, and not answering me. It is my decision to make. Nobody should make that decision for you. And when she got the last line, the last stitch here, Iggy Malek, who tattooed me, she looked at me and said, "We eat fritters for breakfast." And that's how it went. Yeah.
This is intriguing, and I want to talk more. Thank you for taking us on this journey by stories. And I love how you don't answer and reply. You are Indigenous people's answer through story, which helps you not to forget the whole energy you're talking about at exchange through Indigenous peoples. And you went through a lot of protocol. You can add anything you want for a few minutes, because I think we'll run out of time. But it's just been the biggest honor to talk to you.
I want to say thank you. I tend to talk a lot when it's this, yeah. What I want to say to those who stand in between worlds, you are protected. You are guided. Be who you are, even with the voice shaking, saying who you are, do it. If you don't, nobody will. Okay. Full name. Aviaya Rakel Senemoina Christiansen. Aviaya is the name I got for my baptism, and Rakel was the name I was not allowed to carry for my, yeah. So I took the name.
Glad you did. Glad you're here. And it just makes you want to talk again. So maybe there's a possibility of your journey as we go through this time dimension. Yeah. And I'm interested. A lot of people are interested, and it's good that you're doing what you're doing, Raquel. Thank you again for being here.
I have seen we will meet, so it will happen.
Doksha ake wachyank telo. We'll see you again, surely, but eventually.
Spirits of the ancient, said to creation, spirits of the ancient, said to creation, spirits of the ancient, said to creation, spirits of the ancient. Receiving slowly colorful vision, respectful revisions of your stories told. Receiving slowly colorful vision, respectful revision of your stories told. Intense exchange, humbled by your medicine, humbled by your power and the things I saw. Intense exchange, humbled by your medicine, humbled by your power and the things I saw. Rise up to creation, spirits of the ancient. Knocking at your door, say human beings come with pure separation, eager desperation, knocking at your door. Will you hold them, block them, receive them with truth in your treatment? Will you hold them, block them, receive them with truth in your treatment? Singing up to creation, spirits of the ancient. Of the ancient, ay, 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 ay.
see serpents at the quay and I'm suffering. Old man sitting beneath the tree sees power in your stillness and your harmony. Said old man sitting beneath the tree sees serpents of decay and of suffering. And old man sitting beneath the tree sees power in your stillness and your harmony.
Set your parameters, setting the channel for your fruit to grow. With grace and dignity, you set your parameters, setting the channel for your fruit to grow.
And once again, thank you for listening to First Voices Radio. The first of these songs was Dear Co, and Co is K-O, and within parentheses, To Co. The Regit, Jim Doney, and what we just heard was Creancient by Xavier Rudd and the United Nations. And you've been listening to First Voices Radio. My name is Teoxin Ghost Horse. Just want to say thank you and stay with us as we continue First Voices Radio. Doksha Ake Wachang Telo. Peace with Earth.
Bird note. A robin tugging an earthworm from the ground is a symbol of spring. But that worm it's eating hasn't always been here. When glaciers pushed south into what is now the U.S., around 20,000 years ago, they scraped off the soil layer and spelled the end of native earthworms, except in the southern states. So that earthworm plucked by the robin is probably a relatively new arrival, most likely a species Europeans conveyed to the Americas in plant soil or in the ballast of ships. So if not earthworms, what were robins feeding their chicks before the Europeans arrived? Well, probably some of the more than 100 kinds of insects and other invertebrates, as well as berries, that robins are known to eat. Robins prefer to forage in short grass to avoid potential predators, but after the last ice sheets melted back, where was the short grass they liked? One speculation is that prehistoric bison, horses, and mammoths grazed heavily in places, creating robin-friendly landscapes. Just as robins now share pastures with cows, perhaps 15,000 years ago, they hopped among giant bison or woolly mammoths. It's fun to picture, at least. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
K-Boo. Thank you. This is Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, and this is KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. La Unión Europea.